Daf Mem, sorry, Lama Tesma Beis. About 2/3 of the way down the page, 2/3 of the way down, about 8 lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara as follows. The Gemara and Daf Lama Tesma Aleph had mentioned that the reason why you're supposed to give an esrog during the Shemitah year for free and not the lulav is because the lulav apparently is a... The esrog is a... The lulav is a shishis... Even though it's during the seventh year, the Shemitah year, it's picked off, but it really comes from the sixth year. Meaning it grows in the sixth year. It's considered a six-year type of tree. And therefore, it doesn't have attached with any sort of dinim of Shemitah. That's the rule when it comes to the lulav. The esrog, we said, is based upon when you actually picked it. We'll see very soon why that's the case. Lulav is based upon when it grew. And therefore, since it grew in the sixth year and is now being taken in the seventh year, it still is considered a six-year food. And therefore, what's the Gemara say right now? Therefore, it's not a problem. That's the Gemara's next line.
You said the lulav in the eighth year.
Oh, good, excellent. So that's good, excellent. That's the next part of the Gemara we see very soon. Gemara's ihachi, says the Gemara. If so, meaning if it's so, that we're worried about the Shemitah year with the esrog, lulav nami, question mark. Should a lulav also have concerns? Should we worry about the lulav also being a Shemitah year? Meaning it's a Shemitah year. The esrog, we say, don't buy outright. Either get it gifted to you or do havla, the move of the price of the esrog into the lulav. But why? What about the lulav itself? Why is the lulav also a problem? Says the Gemara, lulav var shishis hanichnas l'shviyisum. Lulav is a six-year growth that's now going into the seventh year, but we look at it as being really part of the six-year crops. And therefore, even though you're using it right now when Shemitah just started, the lulav itself is considered part of the six-year growth. Says the Gemara, ihachi, esrog nami var shishis hanichnas l'shviyisum. Why is an esrog any different? Why should an esrog also be the same set of rules? It grew last year. It grew during the sixth year. It's now the seventh year, but in reality, the esrog's true growth and sustenance was before the Shemitah year began. Why is lulav and esrog different sets of rules?
Yeah.
It's a dream come true. Dream come true for you.
Oh, you got it?
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
On the way.
Okay, good. Everyone's got their own goodies. So right now we have the following question we have. We want to understand, why lulav esrog different? How come by the lulav we said it's considered a six-year growth, by the esrog we said it's considered a seventh-year growth? What should be different? It should be the same set of rules for the lulav and for the esrog. That's the kash over here the Gemara wants to know. Again, ihachi esrog nami bashishis because of shviyasi. Where it says, no, because esrog basar lakita azlinan. An esrog goes after, basar means follows, or goes after lakita, which is when you pluck it. The assumption right now we're making is as follows. The esrog was taken since Rosh Hashanah, within the last 2 weeks, before Sukkot began. And whenever it's plucked off of the tree, is the way you establish its status regarding Shemitah year. I mean, if you were to pick the esrog off Pesach time of last year, then it's true. It would not be a Shemitah food, obviously. But if you took it off within the last 2 weeks, which means since Rosh Hashanah began, then Dafka and the esrog would have the status of a Shemitah food. A lulav would not. A lulav has always had the status based upon when it grew. But an esrog would have the status based upon when you plucked it off. That's what the Gemara right now is assuming. So now we understand a little better why lulav and esrog have different status. That's the question we had, and we've just answered that question. One more time. The Gemara was bothered. The Gemara wanted to know if it's a Shemitah year, either both lulav and esrog should be problematic, or neither should be problematic. Why is one a problem, one's not a problem? Why is an esrog a problem, lulav is not a problem? The Gemara answered that esrog has a unique halacha. The esrog goes after when you plucked it and not when it naturally grew. The lulav goes after when it grew, which was the sixth year, and the esrog after when you plucked it, which is the seventh year. The Gemara is going to now challenge that. Is that really true? Ben Rabbi Gamliel, Ben Rabbi Eliezer, Linyan Shviyis, esrog basar chanat azlinan. We don't understand, because the machlokas that we've seen in the past, so we've never seen together, you and I, but we're going to see right now, but other Gemaras deal with it, that when the Gemara describes how do we define the Shemitah year that it belongs to, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel hold basar chanata. Chanata means the blossoming, the growth of it. Neither Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Gamliel hold it goes based upon when you actually plucked it. They both say it's based upon when it actually grew, when it blossomed. Which means it should go based on last year, not based on this year. It should be based upon the prior year, like the lulav would be. We're not going to quote the Mishnah where we see that idea inside. Did not we learn the Mishnah? Esrog shavah le'ilan begimel drachim. Right now, three lines from the bottom of the page. Alam Tesma Beis. An Esrog is equal to an Elon. I mean, it has status like an Elon in three ways. And Lierik, and it status like a vegetable in one way. What are those ways? Shavu Elon. It's like an Elon begimel drachim in three ways regarding Orla. You can't, for the first 3 years of that fruit tree and of the Esrog tree, you have to be hands off. And Lerevai, the fourth year of that same tree, you treat with special levels of Kedusha and Shvius, which means we treat the Shemitah year of the Esrog like we treat the Shemitah year of a fruit, which is based after Chanata, when it blossoms, not when it's plucked off. Now, what's the way it's like a Yerek? The next part of the Gemara, Memor Aleph. Shebashas Likitasu Isurum. It follows the Yerek rules that how do you define what year of Meiser it is? I mean, we know there's a cycle of three. It's Meiser Rishon and then Meiser Sheni for the years number one and number two, and then Meiser Ani for year number three. In years number four and five, once again, it's Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni, and year number six, it's Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani. So it follows in that cycle of what's considered a Meiser year, it's like a Yerek, which means that Bishas Likitaso Isuro. Whenever you pluck it off, that's the Meiser year. I mean, if it grew, let's say, mostly in the fifth year, but you plucked it in the sixth year after Rosh Hashanah already began. So in that case, we're going to say it has the status of that year's Meiser. But regarding Shemitah, so the Meiser Ani. But regarding Shemitah, everyone agrees. We'll see right now, that's right, it's all Rav Gamliel. Regarding Shemitah, Rav Gamliel will hold that it doesn't matter when you plucked it, it matters when it blossomed. Which means on the seventh year of Shemitah year, it blossomed in the sixth year. And therefore, there should be no problem at all with having an Esrog in the Shemitah year, because really it belonged to the sixth year, which is not Kuzra Shvius at all. That's all Rav Gamliel. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Esrog Shavu Elon L'chol Davar. Rabbi Eliezer holds it's actually like an Elon in every way, which means you always go based on blossoming. No one holds. Rav Gamliel doesn't hold that way. No one holds. Rabbi Lazar and Leo, neither one of them hold that an Esrog is based upon when you pluck it. They say it's based upon when it blossoms. Like a lulav, based upon when it blossoms. So once again, we're back to our question. Why in the world are we breaking down regarding Shemitah? Why are we breaking Esrog in one category, lulav in another category when it regards to the rules of Shemitah? When we've clearly shown you just now that Rabbi Leo and Rabbi Lazar have machlokas, how to view an Esrog, both agree that when it comes to the rule of Shemitah, it's all based on when it blossomed, not based on when you plucked it. So in the seventh year, the Shemitah year, the Esrog should be no problem of Shemitah, both according to Rabbi Eliezer and according to Rabbi Gamliel. So we don't understand exactly what the Gemara right now is doing. Why did the Gemara insist on us trying to figure out a way to get the Esrog for free on the seventh year when it really should be not at all a status of Kedusha whatsoever? That's our kash we have in the Gemara. Gemara answers, who, meaning the author of the Mishnah, who do Amar Ki Aitana? The author of the Mishnah must have held like the following Tana. Tana of Amar Yosi Av Tulmus Haid Mishum Chamisha Zikanim. This person Av Tulmus, he testified in the name of five different elders that an Esrog Acher Lekita Lemeiser, that an Esrog should follow based on when you pluck it for Meiser, which we saw above. We saw that the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel like as well for Meiser, which year of Meiser it belongs to, based on when you plucked it, not based on when it blossomed. Rabbi Seinu Nimnu Be'usha, the Rabbi Seinu got together when they were in Usha, and they together stated Ba'amru, Bein the Meiser, Bein the Shvius. Both regarding Meiser and regarding the Shemitah year as well is based on when you plucked it. So here's our opinion we're looking for all along. This is our Mishnah. Mishnah would be like these Rabbi Seinu that were Nimnu Be'usha, the Rabbi Seinu got together, they put their heads together, and they established in Usha this rule that we follow the Shemitah year for an Esrog based upon when you actually plucked it. And that's what our Mishnah would be like. So the Gemara says, one second, Shvius Mandachar Shemei. Whoever mentions Shvius Shemitah over here, that the Rabbi Seinu and Be'usha are commenting on Bein the Meiser, Bein the Shvius. We never talked about Shvius up till now. Why are we throwing Shvius? It's kind of out of left field. Up to now, we were talking about Meiser, so it makes sense that they should respond about Meiser. But we never talk about Shvius at all. Why are we bringing up Shemitah right now? The Gemara says, because we're Machzor B'Hachik Tani. We hadn't mentioned it yet, correct. In the Brisa right now, we quoted the first line, right? We quoted the first line of the Brisa, and we have the guy following up and says, both for Shemitah and for what do you mean, but for Shemitah also? We didn't mention Shemitah at all in the Brisa yet. Says the Gemara, no. There really were words that which were missing. Sorry, Mechzor of Hakik Tani. The words missing is how you should really read that Brisa. Esrog Acher Lekita LeMeiser, VeAcher Chanata LeShvius. We follow the Esrog when it's plucked for the rules of Meiser. We follow the Esrog for when it blossoms for the rules of Shemitah, which would be not like our Mishnah. But then the Rabbis, the rabbis who were got together in Usha and established halacha, they said, Esrog achar likita bein the meiser bein the shvius. They held that the esrog is foul when you pluck it, both from rules of what year of meiser it is, and also, and here's our important line we're using for right now, and also regarding what year of shemitah would be. So therefore, according to this opinion of the Rabbis saying that we're nimnu usha, had you plucked the esrog after Rosh Hashanah time, before Sukkot's time of the seventh year, then that would actually be a Shemitah Esrog. And in that case, the mission that we had, the Aflamat Esrog Aleph would tell you, because they're holding like Rabbi Seinu Nimnu Be'usha, that you should make sure to not buy the Esrog outright. You should try to either be gifted the Esrog or pay extra money for the Lulav. But you want to stay away from buying the Esrog in that year, because the mission must be like the opinion of the Rabbi Seinu, that we're Nimnu Be'usha, that an Esrog goes after when you pluck it both for Meiser as well as for Shemitah, which is a Chiddush that we have not seen until right now. Correct. They're together, that same team. Those are the same opinion. Right. With Rabbi Seinu, which is based on Rabbi Seinu Nimnu Be'usha's opinion. Tamisha usually passes like Tamisha, usually. Yeah, but Meir didn't weigh in on this discussion over here. You're right. I mean, now we often have to try to figure out who's this like. Meaning, it's not always the Rabbi Meir. It's not Mishnah. Usually, if you don't attribute it to anybody, we say it's Rabbi Meir. But here we attribute it to someone else, and therefore this is the Rabbi Seder in the Be'usha's opinion. Okay, a new sugya right now. That's actually I wanted to get to here yesterday, but I didn't get there in the end. But this is where I wanted to get to yesterday. New sugya. The Gemara just finished establishing a very important line. Daf Mem Aleph, about 11 lines down from the top. And I guess I added one, so maybe I should be right. 12? 11 or no? Yeah. 11? Okay. Okay. Says the Gemara. The Gemara just finished describing that really the lulav is a six-year, even in the Shemitah year, it's really a six-year growth. Why? We go Basar Chanat, we go based on when it blossoms. Says the Gemara, time of the lulav bar shishis. The reason why we said in our case of the Shemitah year, don't worry about the lulav at all, you can buy the lulav because the lulav is a six-year growth that just entered into the seventh year, but it's really a six-year product. That would imply, but if it would be a seventh-year product, meaning the next year, lulav and esrog set, the next year's lulav, kadosh. We consider that to be then, kadosh shvius. Again, in the eighth year, the year after Shemitah, you now take lulav and esrog, well, the lulav grew then, there's a seventh year, which means that now we seem to be suggesting in our Mishnah, based on our Gemara right now, that Dafka, the Lulav, is able to be used right now in the Shemitah year because it really belongs to the prior year. Which means post-Shemitah year, it should belong to the Shemitah year, which would be a problem for us. But the Gemara says over here, is that true that it would be a problem? The deal we're making is Had, the Shvi, is Kadosh, but am I? Why would we say even if it grew in the Shemitah year? And now it's the eighth year, the first year of the new cycle. Why would it be a problem? Eitzim be'almahu. It's mere wood. Ve'eitzim ein b'hem mishum kedusha shvius. We're going to prove right now that wood branches do not contract kedusha shvius. Again, the Gemara was trying to discern between lulav and esrog and explain the discernment. The difference was that the lulav belongs to the prior year, and the esrog, according to Rabbi Seder in the Be'usha, belongs to the current year. But that would imply that had it belonged to the current year also the lulav, it would be a problem. That next year will be a problem to the lulav. Why? Wood pieces, sticks, branches are not shayach to kedusha shvius. And we're going to prove it to you now from a braisa. At the time of the braisa, alei kanim v'alei gifanim, branches of reeds or branches from a vine, shegavavan l'chova, that you've gathered them. L'chova means to hide. Lachbi says Rashi, you gather them to hide. You put them together to hide. Al pnei asadeh. They were originally scattered in the fields, and if you gather them now to kind of shelter them and store them away. So says the Gemara the following. Lachdan l'achila. If you gather them right now to feed to your animals, purpose of food, l'achila, then yesh b'hem mishum kedusha shvius. Then they will in fact have kedusha attached to them because now they're edible, they're food items for your animals, these branches, and therefore they would establish and connect to kedusha. Treat them with respect then. Lachdan l'eitzim, if you only gather them for firewood or for wood, They have no status of Kedusha Shvias, which implies right now if I take a branch, and that branch is not a food branch, it's not for edible reasons, stama branch, which by the way, a lulav we assume is stama branch, like that branch. There is no Kedusha Shvias to branches. There is if they're going to play a food part, like if you feed your animals and they have Kedusha Shvias, but if they merely are going to act as non-edible, as inedible branches, they will not have Kedusha attached to them at all. And if that's the case, then the lulav also should never have Kedusha for that reason as well. The issue shouldn't be because based upon when you plucked it, when it blossomed, because it's wood. And wood does not have Kedusha attached to it. That's the Gemara's question right now we have on the prior Gemara. Again, the prior Gemara stated, lulav is okay because it's really a six-year growth, which implies, had it been a seventh-year growth, it would be a problem. We're asking right now, why would it be a problem even in the seventh year? It's Eitzim B'Alma. And we've just shown you that Eitzim, mere piece of wood that are not eaten, that are not used for food, do not in fact contract Kedusha. That's our question. Take a step back now, understood that question. If not, I'll repeat it again. Anyone have a question about what I just asked? Repeat it again? Repeat it one more time. One more time. Says the Gemara the following. The Gemara just finished differentiating between Lulav and Esrog. What's the differentiation that we had?
That the lulav goes according to when it blossoms.
Good.
So in the Shemitah year, the lulav has no Kedusha.
Excellent.
And the esrog is from when it's picked. So in the Shemitah year...
If you picked it in that year already, then it would be proud. Good. So the Gemara right now says, one second. So you're trying to tell me right now that the reason why lulav is okay in the Shemitah year is because it grew last year, right? Implying that had that not been the case, it would be a problem of Shemitah for lulav as well.
Or in the eighth year, it should be a problem.
Or in the eighth year, maybe it should be a problem. Says the Gemara, I don't agree.
It's not food.
Sticks, pieces of wood, branches, leaves that aren't eaten are not problematic. And we bring it over here, Bryce, so we'll rediscuss. If you collect, grape leaves, grape branches, and you do not collect in the purpose of feeding to your animals, rather just stomp for wood purposes, for firewood, let's see, so then it wouldn't be a problem of Shemitah. So the reason why lulav is not a problem with Shemitah shouldn't be because it blossomed last year. It's because it's a piece of wood. And wood pieces, unless they're there for the purpose of eating, which a lulav is not, should not be considered Kedusha. That's the reason why the Gemara should have said. Not because we follow the prior year's growth. Kasha. That's the question. Okay? Says the Gemara, nope, that's not a good question. Why? Shani Hasim is different over there by the case of the firewood. The Amar Krakas, the Torah says, Lachem L'Achla. When describing the Shemitah, it says it should be yours to be eaten. Lachem L'Achla. Says the Gemara, Lachem Dumid L'Achla. Lachem means it's yours, you can use it, like as long as you use it like you would eat it. What does that mean? Misha Naso Ubiuro Shava. What does it mean to use it like you would eat it? When the pleasure you get from it, and when it's lost from the world, happened Shaveh at the same exact time. When I eat a food right now, So the moment it's gone from the world is when I'm getting the pleasure out of it as well. The pleasure that I get from it is when it's gone from the world. I eat it, and as I'm eating it, it's now ruined to the world. It's destroyed, and I get another at the same time. That's what lachem leachla means. That for you to use and get hana out of a kedusha shvius item. The only time we say it's going to be Kedusha Shvius for you is when you use it in a way that's like eating. What does that mean? Where the pleasure you get from it and the consumption and the law being lost from the world happens as one. You eat a food, so as you enjoy it, it's gone from the world. Same exact time. That's when we say, that's when Kedusha Shvius exists. Not as, but Shemitah. It says in the Pasuk over here, it says, Vayasa Shabbas Aretz Lachem L'Achla. That Shemitah year, it's lachem la'achla, l'chala l'chala, masecha l'shchara 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 l'shchara. That's when Kedusha Shvius kicks in, when it's lachem la'achla. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Lachem la'achla is when, you're doing visual aid for us, is when we say it has Kedusha Shvius. If it's not lachem la'achla, if it's not the achila happening together as one with the enjoyment, with the consumption, and it wouldn't happen at the same time, then it would not be Kedusha. It won't be Kadosh. You're losing me. I see you're spacing on me over here. You're too jacked with the beer sticks. One more time. Ready? One more time. The Pasuk says, Lachem li'achla. Dafka, when it's yours and it's eaten or consumed in a way like eaten, then we say it has Kedusha attached to it. What does that mean? It means that when the item is being used up and being enjoyed, happen as one. If that's the case, then that usage would create this item to be Kedusha Shvius. If I could somehow separate when it's destroyed, and when I enjoy it, I get pleasure out of it, then that type of thing would not be considered Kedusha Shvius. For example, the words right now, what's the example of that? Firewood. I should say cooking wood. When I cook over fire, what they did back in the day, what they did was they would cook, and then they would put it out, and they would use the coals to actually cook their item. It wouldn't be the flames, it would be the coals they would use to cook their items.
Basically consume first.
So therefore, firewood would not be Kedusha Shvius for that reason. Because it's not a hana like achila. Achila's hana is you eat it and it's gone from the world while you enjoy it at the same time. It comes as one, ban ke'echad. But for cooking, for etzei asaka, for firewood that you want to cook over, then it's consumed first and only enjoyed later on. And therefore, firewood, that's why it's different. If I gather wood that I had alei gefanim or alei kanim, for firewood, in order to enjoy and cook over those coals later on, the reason why it's not kedusha is not because it's stam wood. It's because the hana and the biuro, the enjoyment and the consumption from the world, do not happen as one. They're not b'gecha. Therefore, there's no kedusha shvius, doesn't happen as one. Let's look at the Gemara inside where it says that inside. Shiny hasam is different over there. By the case of firewood, it's yours, you can use it, it has kedusha. When it's dumya la'achla, when it's like consumption, what does that mean? If the hana, the enjoyment, and the biur, and the consumption from the world happens shaveh at the same time, then it has kedusha shvius. Yatsu, that's coming to exclude etzim, regular wood that's used to burn things. Shanasam acha biurun, that there is a hana that comes only after the consumption of the world. Now over here, the lulav, and also the lulav, it comes as one also. Why? So Rashi explains that the lulav was used as like a sweeper, as a broom. What's that? Why is that in the Gemara, that line? Yeah, it's a good question. Look at the Rashi over here. We need to get Rashi together. As he's pointing out, Rashi Yatsu Eitzei Asaka Shanasim Achaviru. Look at the second line there, Rashi. Avalulav Iker Hana Aso Lechabes Abayis. The main lulav that's usually normally used, not for lulav desu, but normally this branch that's used is a sweep of a house. Vushas Biuro the Kilkulo, and therefore the time that you use it and it gets ruined is when you enjoy it. When it's sweeping things up is when you dirtied it and ruined it. And therefore it's like an achila, and therefore it would have kedusha, because it's like achila, that you consume it and enjoy it as one. So he's asking a great question, which is, the Gemara would have helped for us to have had that line in the Gemara. We've kind of referenced it earlier on, kichufya we said, right? Kichufya. Had Rashi not said, we would have been scratching our heads right now. It's probably true. It's a good question. It's a fair question. Yeah, I hear that. I for sure hear that. It's a difficult shot to understand without Rashi's help. Usually Rashi's filling the gaps, but it shouldn't be that big of a gap. That's a big gap. We would never have gotten that without Rashi, probably. It's a big gap to fill in. I agree with that. It's a fair point. Okay, so now the Gemara has explained everything, right? We understand that really lulav does have this shvius in the proper year, in the certain years, because it has, like achila, hana, ubiro, shave. We understand that etzei hasaka, when you use wood for cooking, that would not have kedusha shvius, because in those cases the biur from the world happens before you have the anah, which is only when the coals are there alone. And we understand that wood collected for eating obviously is also considered kedusha shvius, collected for your animals, because that's anah biuro would be shave.
So that would be for lulav, but not for a tree. A tree branch is not the
anah. Depends on what you use it for. If you use it for giving your animals food, then it would be the same time. But use it for stomp for firewood, then alikunim valet, depends on what you use it for.
Then it wouldn't have
kedusha. Then it would not, if it's for burning. Because Gemara va'ika eitzim dimashchan, the anasim v'yuron shavim. But there are certain types of trees that you use for like an oil tree, it's like an oil tree, like an olive tree, that the hana and biur are the same, meaning use it for light. If I use something for light, that's actually the same time. It burns, it gives me light right away. So I don't have to wait till it burns out. It's consuming while it's lighting up, and therefore that shouldn't. These branches, which are very common branches, shouldn't that also now therefore make it Kedusha Shvius? Meaning, shouldn't it Stam branch then? I mean, there are many branches that use that actually are there for burning for light purposes, not only for cooking but for light. Why am I assuming that branches are normally used for coals of cooking? There are many that are used for the purpose of light. Or heat, exactly. It would be the same thing. It would be the same point as light. It happens at the same time. Which is a question. So therefore we're saying, if that's the case, we're saying, look at Rashi over here again. Look at the middle of that Rashi. Name Bahashtamiya, right in the middle of the line, middle of that Rashi. Now we should say, according to this, Im Lakhtan Lahadlakas Ora, Minaga Bahushviyas. Why don't we say in the Mishnah that if you collected it for the purpose of light, it would be considered also for Shviyas? Meaning, we made a statement. The thing made was, if you collect it for food, that's one thing. For burning is a different category. What if for light? Why isn't light put in the same category as food in this Brisa? Why didn't it say in the Brisa? Collect it for food of your animals or for ore. Or for light, then it would be considered Kedusha Shvius. Why is that left out? Says the Gemara, Amarava, Stam Eitzim La'Saka Hein Omdin. Because that's unusual. Meaning, when you're going to burn it, it's usually used to be burned to be cooked on afterwards. Not be burned for the light afterwards. Not what it's usually used for. And therefore, it gave a generalization. But Stam Luba is for a broom, which happens, which again, I know you don't like that. You're still not liking that.
Stam Eitzim La'Saka means that Stam Eitzim is used for cooking?
Basically. Correct. Not only that, but even Rashi's in the very end, Rashi even says, even if you want to use that Eitzim for light, doesn't count. It's still considered not Kedusha. That's what Rashi says. It's not a normal usage of it. And then Rashi says, even if you want to be among those few who want to use it for the light reasons, for the purpose of the torch, it still would not become Kedusha Shvius. If you use it for the purpose of food, then it would be. But once it's going to be burnt, so even if you use it for light, that's such a minority way of using it, it's mute. So therefore, it's still in the category of burning it, and therefore not a Kedusha Shvius, even if you use it for the light of the burning of it. Good. Oh, okay, good. Well, the Gemara then shouldn't have said the answer above, though. The Diyuk is not a... It could be.
Maybe Lulav was never an issue.
So that's what the Gemara started. The Gemara already started said, I don't understand. Why Lulav an issue at all? Meaning the Mustam and Pasha, the Gemara was, it was an issue. But as we say, we're not understanding why we... That was something we made an assumption, but that assumption was a bit of a jump. And we're not sure even if it's such a good assumption, because we bring Lulav-like things that are called Eitzim that someone don't seem to be. So the Gemara says, no, that's not necessarily a rejection of our Diyuk is still in play, and the question we asked has been set aside. So now we have the Diyuk still being the right Diyuk. Right? Well, the Diyuk, because the Diyuk was it's a pretty clear Diyuk. Now, you would have made the same Diyuk yourself if you were listening to it? I accept that question you're asking me that bothers you. But it was, again, read the words. Ihach, lulav nami. And it couldn't say anything you wanted to say. It couldn't say right away. What do you mean? No, lulav, it's Eitzim. Didn't say that. It could have. Didn't have to go this route, but it said lulav bar shishinikli. Why did it say that? It's begging us to make this deal that we're making. Okay. Says the Gemara, and each know Eitzim La'Saka is actually Tanahi. Eitzim La'Saka is Machlokas Tanahim. What does that mean? If you weren't the beer sticks, we wouldn't be further along. It's Machlokas Tanahim. Meaning, some would even suggest that Eitzim La'Saka, even the purpose of burning them, would be considered Kedushas Shvius. Time with the Nebraisa, Ein Moshin Peru Shvius, Lo Lemishra, Lo Lekvusa. We do not. You can't give your Peru Shvius for Mishra, which means I can't use it to soak flax in. For example, I can take grapes that are Kedusha Shvius and make wine from them and then use that wine, which is Kedusha, to soak flax. I can't do that. That's a misusage and a busha for the Kedusha item. And I can't use it for Kavusa. I can't use white wine and expect to then clean, launder clothes with them. That's a busha for the garments. You're not allowed to use your peir shviyas, your wine, for these very degrading usages. Rabbi Yossi Omer Moshe, Rabbi Yossi says you're allowed to. He says you're allowed to use these as well for Kedusha Shviyas. It's not a violation of Shemitah by using it for laundering or for soaking of flax. We want to understand what's this machlokas. My time, Tanakh, what's the reason Tanakh says that you're not allowed to use it for flax soaking or for laundering? The Amar Kra, Lo Achla, says the Torah says it's to be eaten. Eaten, Lo Lemishra, Lo Lekvusa. Eaten and not soaking flax and not laundering. Eating means eating. Okay, that's a good point. My time's Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi say then you're allowed to use those things? Amar Kra Lachem. It says where it's yours. Lachem Lo Kotra Chechem means you get to use it however you want to use it. It's yours. So we have now eating means eating, and yours means yours, and that's what they're arguing about. So each one has to explain the other person's puzzle that they kind of focus on. But even if he means, yours means whatever you want to use it for. Even for soaking flax, even for laundering. You can use it for anything you want, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. V'tanakama. Tanakama says, I haksiv lachem. Doesn't say lachem for you also, meaning it says for eating, but also says it's yours. Why are you limiting to only eating if lachem is an expansive word? It's yours for anything it sounded like. So it says over here, the Tanakama, it's teaching you lachem, you can use it for things besides eating, as long as it's dumi lachila. You can use it for anything you want that's eating-like, which means, what does it mean that's like eating? Mishanasun of Yiro Shave. Like we said earlier on, when the hana that you get and the consumption of that item happens as one. Lachem, you can use even non-eating items as long as they're like eating, which means as long as you're using them the same way that you use food, you eat it and you enjoy it at the same time. What is not included in that? Yatsu Mishra V'chusa. You can take out of that the soaking of flax and the laundry, because the moment you put a dirty laundry in your wine, it's disgusting. Your biurun has now happened. When you enjoy it, when it's clean, when you wear it later on. When I soak flax, I put it in right away to soak the flax. That moment that you put it in there, it's disgusting now. But the flax isn't ready yet. So the biuro and the hana don't happen as one. So you can knock those out to the Tanakama. Ay, Rabbi Yossi, use it any way you want. Use it lachem. What do you mean? It says lachila, ksiv lachla. What achla meant over here was meant it's yours to be like eaten as opposed to mlugma, which means refua. It's got to be consumed, but it can't be for like a side purpose. We'll see why refua in a minute is singled out, but it's got to be yours. But things that are like eating, that are the more, I would say, constructive than removing a destructive thing. We have this also in the world of Shabbos, that you can't ask someone to turn on a light for you, but you can ask someone to turn off a light for you. The difference between making a constructive action versus a avoidance or taking away a bother. So when we say tachem l'achla, that's when you use it for the purpose of something constructive, doing something positive. But refua is removing a negative. That doesn't count. Lachem means everything you want. And what does eat mean then? Anything you want, that's making things better. That's increase. Say again? And therefore, refua is not making things better, it's taking bad things away. It's not making them better. You're not creating a better item now that you used it. You can only use it to make something better now. I'm using this to make a better item than I had earlier on. Here I had a non-launder garment, now it's laundered. Which means I made it better. It was at this stage I made it better. But when someone is, let's say, when you have someone who's not well,
say when I launder, something bad.
Good.
Dirty.
So the Gemara is going to get to that question. The Gemara is going to ask why are we picking this versus that. We'll get to that very soon. Excellent question. Great question. The Gemara is going to ask that exact question a minute from now. But over here, the assumption is Gemara, the akhla is something that you have a certain level, and after you're done eating it, you've now raised the next level we have right now in front of us, and therefore, only if you lachem can be used for those type of ways, but not malugma. Kitana, as we say, la akhla, la malugma, that you could eat it, but you shouldn't use it for refua. If Kedusha Shviyas should not be used for refua reasons. Says Gemara, Atah Omer la akhla, lo malugma. You want to tell me it means you could eat it, but you can't use it for refua? Oh, Einu Ella, lo lekvusa. Maybe it means you shouldn't launder it. Why are you assuming it means you shouldn't use it for refua? It means you shouldn't launder it. Why are you picking refua, knocking out, and not knocking out laundering? Says Gemara, Kishu Omer lachem, Har lekvusa Omer. When you say lachem, it means you use it for whatever you want, including laundering. So therefore, I know already based on lachem, I'm not used for laundering. So how many mekayim l'achla? What does the l'achla mean then? L'achla l'lugma. It means you can eat it, eating like things, but not laundering. Now here's Shimon's question: Mara is l'rabos akvusa lotias l'lugma. Here's your question you ask: I could have gone either way with this one over here. What did you see in the words that made you want to include with lachem laundering, but with the word lachla to exclude refuah? It seems to be a random assignment. There's the Gemara, marba ani etzakvusa sheshava b'chol adam. I'm going to include laundering because everyone needs to launder things all the time. Meaning everyone has clothing, and after you wear clothing, you ruin them. You have to launder them. Everyone has that. That's shava b'chol adam. That's equal for everybody. Moses, I'm going to exclude malugma, which is refuah. Just shava b'chol adam. Not everyone's sick. Everyone needs to wear clothing. Everyone needs to launder clothing. Not everyone's sick right now. And therefore, if I'm going to include something, I'm going to include something that's universal. La'achla means what? Everyone eats. Therefore, whatever is like eating, which everyone needs, you would include that. That's how the Gemara is saying right now. La'achla, anything that's like achila, in that it's shava l'chol adam, and that it has the status of being universal, that will be lachem. What's universal? Laundering's universal. You may wonder, what about flax? Is flax soaking universal? Maybe it is. Maybe it's clothing. It's called making clothing with flax soaking. So that's universal. But it's illness. Not everyone gets sick. Certainly not all the time. People don't always get sick. People always need clothing. People always need to be eating. People always need to be laundering. And therefore, la'achla is going to include things that happen all the time for everybody. Shalachal adam. And the refuah is going to be excluded. I should go a little further, but I'm not going to. You know, it's a little bit the last part of the next few lines, really the last part of this sugya, but we'll do that in the later next time.